when he and his business partners began working on an Americana-themed amusement park in the middle of Oklahoma, he soon started getting emails telling him that he must not hesitate and he must not ask any pesky questions that might hold the project back. He put in almost $60 million, thinking he was just following orders from the man upstairs, and got nothing but a gravel road and heartache out of it. This is the story of Gene Bicknell, the Pizza Hut mogul who believed he was receiving emails from God to build a theme park. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. I always love when I tell you guys something personal about myself, like that I love the show Survivor, and I get comments telling me how bad my taste is. Like, yes, correct, that's why I mentioned it. I like to read highbrow literature, I like to go to Michelin-starred restaurants, I like to see all of the Oscar-nominated movies, and I also really, really love a lot of lowbrow things, like Pizza Hut. I was looking around earlier this week for the next case I wanted to cover, and I was interested in this one at first for sure. But when I Googled the alleged victim's name and found out that one of the suggested searches was Gene Bicknell Pizza Hut, I was completely hooked. According to Gene Bicknell himself, he was born poor in Oklahoma in 1932 and grew up with four brothers and a sister. His family had quote-unquote strong values, though, and they knew how to work hard. He got his business degree and then his MBA from Pittsburgh State in Kansas and went on to work for Goodyear Tire and New York Life Insurance. In 1962, he bought his first Pizza Hut franchises, two at first in Kansas and Missouri. He soon expanded to six more states. In 1965, he founded the company that would go on to be known as Southeast Pizza Huts, Inc. It eventually held 800 Pizza Huts, making Gene the world's largest Pizza Hut franchisee. The company went public in 1984, which I didn't even know could be a thing for a bunch of Pizza Hut franchises, but it's now my goal in life. Gene sold the company to Merrill Lynch in 2006, but don't worry, he had a side hustle. In 1971, he'd also founded a company called Pitt Plastics that makes plastic can liners, like trash bags. Gene's website says it's one of the top plastic can liner, packaging, and storage bag manufacturers in the country. Such a humble brag, Gene. He's been in several movies and TV shows that you've probably never heard of, although one of them was a straight-to-video movie called Gypsy Angels that was only released when co-star Vanna White got famous on Wheel of Fortune. She plays a stripper. Gene has also served on boards, chaired fundraising drives, named a building after himself at his old university, all of the hallmarks of a man who's just made it in life. He had, according to his lawyers, a substantial personal fortune. As a man of the people and a philanthropist, Gene invested in the Mansion Theater for the Performing Arts in Branson, Missouri, and hired a preacher named Larry Wilhite to manage the theater. While working there in 2019, this preacher met a Sicilian immigrant named Rick Salanskis, who said he was a sort of creative entertainment mogul who'd been in the business for 39 years. He worked for CBS and ESPN. He developed theme parks in Asia, and he'd been mentored by a Disney legend. He had this idea to expand the Mansion Theater at first to make it a shining light of hope not only for Branson, but for the entire industry. Wilhite, the preacher, introduced him to Gene in 2021, and over the next few months, Salanskis worked his magic. He convinced Gene to give him a position at the Mansion Theater with a six-figure salary, and he put aside the idea of just expanding the theater. No, he wanted something bigger now, the American Heartland Project. The plans were formally announced to the public in July 2023. It would be a theme park, an RV park called Three Ponies, a campground, and a resort. And although it would be even larger and more impressive than a Disney park, it wasn't going to be built in somewhere like Florida or California. No, it was being planned for Vinita, Oklahoma, a town of fewer than 6,000 people an hour northeast of Tulsa. The 1,000-acre property would be Americana-themed with rides, live shows, restaurants, everything needed to showcase the quote-unquote rich cultures and hometown values America has to offer, according to one press release. There would be 6 different lands, like Adventureland or Fantasyland at Disney World, representing different chapters in the American story. When I read this, I was picturing like a 1930s Dust Bowl land with a ride where you try to pick crops, but there are no crops to pick. Or a World War II ride where people call out for help, but you tell them no, you won't get involved until someone attacks Pearl Harbor. These are amazing ideas, right? Right? Should I start my own America-themed park? But no, the 6 lands were Great Plains, Bayou Bay, Big Timber Falls, Stony Point Harbor, Liberty Village, and Electropolis. More than 20 Disney Imagineers and builders were brought on board, and the project was projected to cost $2 billion by the time it was finished. The theme park and resort would open sometime in 2026, along with a film and TV studio. But the RV park and 300 cabins were to open in spring 2025, creating the largest campground in the central U.S. But obviously it's past spring of 2025 at this point, and there hasn't been even a whisper about the American Heartland RV park opening. So that's why this story came to my attention. Because Gene Bucknell is suing the team who got him involved with the project, Richard M. Solanskis Jr., Larry K. Wilhite, and Stephen D. Hedrick. Solanskis is the guy who claimed to work for Disney, CBS, and ESPN. Wilhite is the preacher who introduced him to Gene, and Hedrick is the guy they brought on board to be the executive producer of the American Heartland project. He said he had 40 years' experience working for entertainment and theme park companies, including Disney.
Because we are anticipating lots of overnight stays and lots of people coming to the city of Anita and to Northeast Oklahoma. It's not only going to help Northeast Oklahoma, but the entire state and the entire region, the states around Oklahoma, are going to feel the positive impact. We're quite confident in that.
They bought the land in Oklahoma and began development using Gene's money. At first, he guaranteed millions of dollars to contractors using one of his companies as backing. But in July 2022, he sent $500,000 from his own accounts to an entity owned by Wilhite, the preacher. In August 2022, he sent $600,000 more. In October, another $600,000. In November, another $600,000. In December, $500,000. By the end of the year, he'd put up almost $10 million of his own money. And in January 2023, he sent $600,000 more. In February, another $1.5 million. He also spent almost $5.5 million to buy 1,200 more acres of land for the park. And I'm going to stop here because you're probably getting bored, and truly, the payments just continued like this. $3 million to the preacher, $1.3 million to a vendor, over and over and over. In July 2023, one of the partners announced that they would need more than $118 million just for the remainder of the year, but Gene wrote back, "I'm not concerned about the funding." Because, see, Gene thought that God was telling him to do whatever it took to invest in this project. He started receiving texts and emails commanding him to fork over his cash and offer his deference, and they appeared to be written by the hand of God himself, at least to Gene. Every day, and sometimes more than once a day, he was sent devotionals from the email address heavendirectword@gmail.com that said things like,
"Awake, my child. This is a day of great decision and urgency. I have spoken to you so very long, preparing you for this juncture in time. But today you must finally make a crucial decision. This mission will not tolerate anything but absolute obedience and absolute cliff-diving faith from the highest mount above the sea. Remove every thought of operating as you have in the past with business and decision-making. Your past business practices and strategy have no place in this work, for now you have exited the natural and entered the supernatural. How much more must I show you? I have shown you a vision and specific plan few will ever be blessed to experience, and yet you seek to protect the storehouses rather than trusting me. I filled your storehouses over the years for this moment. I alone have been your source. I alone have been your provision. Whatever you have accumulated within the storehouses came from me alone. Now listen, I am instructing you to empty the storehouses and accelerate this mission without delay. Stop delaying. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. Deuteronomy 28:12. In your obedience and trust, you will see a multiplication of storehouses beyond any earthly calculation, and thus unlimited resources as the vision is fully revealed. Have I not sent you specific, trusted, and gifted leaders to complete this work? Look by your side since the moment this all began. How many times must I remind you? Allow those I sent to you to move forward without obstruction or delay. Trust them completely and avoid inserting any distractions or doubtful questions.
That last part was alluding to Solanskis and Wilhite, that Gene should do whatever they were telling him to do without question. And what they were telling him to do, obviously, was give them all his money. Gene believed that he was being called by God to make sure the American Heartland theme park was completed. And I'm like, obviously, because if there's one thing that God likes, it's a roller coaster in the middle of Oklahoma. Gene told a friend, "This is God's plan, not mine. He has laid it on me." At this point, Gene was, 90 years old, and obviously someone who valued his Christianity. The bio on his website talks about his family's strong values. He wrote books called The Personal Side of God, The Holy Spirit Speaks to a Businessman, and I Feel Sorry for God. When he started receiving hundreds of messages supposedly from the man upstairs, his faith just kicked into overdrive. It was only when he was more than $60 million deep that he realized who had probably been texting and emailing him over 500 times. Now, my understanding from Gene's lawsuit is that he doesn't think his partners originally intended to outright steal his money. He says their plan was to build the American Heartland Project and then steal it, while also, of course, paying themselves hundreds of thousands of dollars along the way for all of the very hard work they put in. While Solanskis and Wilhite were busy sending those messages to Gene about going for the gold and trusting in his team without question, they were also telling him, in the voice of God, of course, that he was supposed to give up equal shares of the theme park to them, one-third to each of them. Even though Gene had been literally selling off his own possessions to pay for it on his own. In the end, all they ever built was a gravel road and a fence. In his lawsuit, Gene alleges that the men drove a wedge between him and his family when he asked them for money. Apparently, he had put most of his wealth into an irrevocable trust for his 5 kids and 45 grandkids, and it didn't go over super well when he started asking for it back for the theme park. He actually worked on getting his will changed to exclude his family. So no one was there to, I say this with love, talk some sense into him. Remind him that if God exists, he probably doesn't use a cell phone. Gene says Solanskis and Wilhite ruined his reputation and his health, ultimately causing him to have a stroke. But more than that, there's no more money to pay vendors who have already done work. People who bought up land as a future investment near the park will lose out. And worst of all, the residents of Veneta who thought 4,000 new jobs and prosperity were on the way will have their dreams dashed. What I'd love to know is how much the preacher, Wilhite, knew when he introduced Gene to Solanskis. Was he in on the scheme from the beginning? Because the thing is, Solanskis supposedly has a history of fraud. Around 2015, he pulled the exact same thing, promising Texas and Alabama theme parks that would be 10 times the size of the Magic Kingdom and provide 20,000 new jobs. In 2016, the Alabama Securities Commission posted a cease and desist order against his partner who was managing the funds. They charged that guy with stealing millions of dollars from their investors, and that guy went to prison. I have no idea how Solanskis got away free. I know I've poked a little fun at Gene because I just can't imagine a world where someone actually believes God has gone mobile and chosen them to send his first text ever. But I actually do feel so much sympathy for this old guy who got distanced from his family who probably could have helped him. One of the little details of this case that really got me was that as the alleged fraudsters grew closer, Solanskis sent Wilhite a story called The Ballad of Rick and Larry, A True Legend. It was about a cowboy and an immigrant who overcame obstacles, explored a new land, and made it their own. It ended with them remaining, quote-unquote, the best of friends, united by their love of adventure and their deep bond of friendship. Gene, the guy who had funded their entire adventure, was nowhere to be seen in the story. It also sort of makes me sick to think that when Gene would forward the emails from God to his partners and say, "This is what we must heed," one of them would respond, "You are so right." You can just imagine them laughing behind his back. And of course, one of them was a preacher. But I don't know, maybe I'm being too kind to Gene. At one point, a guy emailed Gene and said that he'd been following the progress of the theme park. He wrote that Gene was a blessing to others, was expanding God's kingdom, etc. And Gene wrote back, "I have a connection with God. I am undeserving and humbled. I can't explain it, but I am chosen and overwhelmed." And it just strikes me how it probably really stroked Gene's ego to think that God had picked him of all the people to communicate with. I am chosen. You see it a little in his website bio, which says, he has chaired every major fundraising drive in Pittsburgh, Red Cross, Salvation Army, Cancer Society, Athletic Scholarships, YMCA, United Way, and so on. Truly, maybe he has chaired every major fundraising drive. But there's also this idea that the most charitable people don't usually tell you how charitable they are. But man, when I see the photo of Gene standing behind Will Hyatt at the announcement of the park in 2023, he just looks so happy, and I just don't want Grandpa getting duped, even if he's a little braggy. Hedrick told Tulsa World in July 2025 that he and Will Hyatt had left the American Heartland Project. He said, "It's sad to say, but for whatever reason, funds to build the American Heartland theme park and resort never materialized." But all in all, Gene contributed more than $60 million to the project, and two contractors have sued Gene for an additional $7.8 million in unpaid bills. Based on the facts laid out in the lawsuit, all of the pretending to be God, I can't imagine that a court won't side with Gene, and I hope he's able to get back his money and repair his relationship with his family. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.